Hello, everybody. This is Ms. Parker. It's been a while. Thank you for hanging out with me and waiting for me to get going again. I'm safe. I'm with a safe family and I'm comfortable. And thank you, everybody, for all the nice things you guys did and sent. I appreciated it very, 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 very much. I was able to, all of my moving costs were covered. Thank God. Thank you for everything. So anyway, here's my disclaimer. Maybe here's my disclaimer. I don't know. It's loading, I guess. Come on. Oh, hold on.
You should not rely on the material and information contained or given on this website or audio files are for general information and entertainment purposes only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You should not rely on this material to make any business decisions. While this channel does endeavor to keep the info up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations, warranties of any kind, express or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website, information product services, audio files, or related graphics contained on this website for any purposes. All due diligence is the sole responsibility of the participants.
Well, that is Kanaka. Isn't he amazing? His voice sounds like Darth Vader. I just love him. So tonight's recording is, so you got me, now what? And I've done a couple of types of things like this. And one of the biggest things that people don't realize before they have wealth and then after they receive wealth is that you have to plan on doing things before you get the money and be aware that it's very, very, very lonely at the top. So a lot of times when people have big wealth, they don't realize that it's going to be so incredibly lonely. So I get asked, I've been asked a couple different times, you know, what would you do different? If you could change it, what would you do different? What would you look at that would make positive changes in your life? And the thing is that you can't complain about having the wealth, because everybody that's not wealthy is going to look at you like you're a jerk, you know, but that's not the case. It's just, you just don't know, you know, you just don't know how everything is going to change. And, you know, you think that you're going to be busy all the time, and it doesn't work that way, because your friends don't have that kind of wealth. So unless you've planned for them to be wealthy with you, you're going to go up by yourself. And so what do? I mean, you can only go to enough parties, and you can only have enough, you know, I think I'll take the yacht to Monaco, you know, that you can only do that kind of stuff in enough time before you start getting bored. And it sounds crazy that you would get bored with being wealthy, but it does happen. And it's that kind of boredom that, you know, gets people in trouble. They do stupid stuff. So before that happens, there's some things you might want to consider about what you're going to do with this wealth, or how you're going to approach some of the things you might want to do. And so that's kind of what this recording is about. I have been very lucky in my life. I've been very, very wealthy. I've lost it all due to the industry I was in, and then went back up, became very wealthy again, and then lost it all again, and done it 3 times. This time is going to be different, because this time I'm not going to be losing the wealth. You know, the RV will come and things will be considerably different this time, I'm hoping. And so I'm kind of thinking now about what are these changes that I want to implement, and giving it a good think right now, so that as the wealth comes, and different times come where you can, relax more, you think about these things along the way. So when you start hanging around really, really wealthy people, they want to be immortal. They want to do things or have things that that people will remember them when they're gone. And many of the richest people in the world, they look at things like, how will I be remembered? So you'll see them, they'll donate money to a hospital and have a whole wing named after them, or all different kinds of stuff. It doesn't matter how much money it costs to get your name on a wing of a building or get something named after you. It's not so much that you want to live forever. It's just that you want to be the one to choose when you step away. Okay? So your people, they try to upload their consciousness into the internet and other ways to become immortal. They'll write books about their lives. Some people will do collective online consciousness. Some people are talking about robotic bodies, 3D printed organs, cryogenics. We're talking about the med beds and reversing aging. All of those things only can be done when you're very wealthy. So, think about what you want to do. What is your progress? How do you want to progress after you pass away for your grandkids and your children? If money's no longer an issue, how would you want your family to remember you and to live longer than your given life? So that's something you might want to think about. When money is no longer an issue, when money is no longer an issue, that's the reason why Elon Musk and all these other people, they want to discover a new world. They, want to go on a great space adventure. And that's kind of the same way explorers used to do back in the day. That's where I'm at. I want exploration. I've had a lot of fun with ocean exploration, and I'm pretty sure that's where I'm going to focus, where money is no issue for me, because I'm looking at getting a I'm looking at a yacht to do reef repair and reef building, but I also want an explorer yacht so that I can go to uncharted ocean areas and go have a great adventure on the high seas. Once billionaires and millionaires start exploring areas, it lends a momentum to the exploration and the learning. We don't know our country. We don't know our world as much as you think that we do. And I believe that the deep state has lied to us tremendously about a lot of different things. And so, you know, that might be something you might want to do is plan to do exploration, you know, deep sea exploration or high mountain exploration or island exploration. You know, there's a lot of uncharted islands that, you know, nobody's ever been on there, and there's, well, why? Well, you know, Jacques Cousteau was my, I was a huge fan of Jacques Cousteau. And I love that, you know, they would learn things and do things that, you know, nobody has done before. So, you know, that's, you know, we, I believe we're a multiplanetary species. And if we want our race to survive long term, you know, then you might want to consider planning where you want to go where nobody's gone before. That's something that might hold your interest. Pixar Film Studio, they did a show called Coco. And it's one of the things about that movie was like somebody only truly goes away when nobody remembers them anymore. And for a lot of people, that can be just, you know, two to three generations. We talk about, you know, family management and family wealth management. And part of family wealth management and family management stuff is focusing on the start of where the money came from, and that's you. So you're, if you want to foolproof your legacy, then it starts with you. You're the center of it all, and you with your kids and you with your grandkids. And so when money is no longer an issue, things get named after you, and it's actually adding value. And it's not buying value, it's adding value. So like every street, every library, every monument is because of somebody's greatness. You can add to that in their world. And a lot of times people don't realize that you can actually add to added value to the city you live in, to the town you're in, to the people that you're with, your family, because you have the money to do it. You want to be a great mom or dad. You, when you pass on, you want your kids and your grandkids to say, you know, she was a great mom. She got all this money and she was never forgot us, and you know, all those positive things. And once you've figured out ways to be, have an impact on your children, and you want to impact the lives of your grandchildren, and then turn to your local community. You might want to have a community center built after you or built and named after you. You know, if you've got more money than you know what to do with, then consider getting yourself a place in history, in the history of your town, the history of your state. And, you know, the only way to foolproof it is by doing your best to be on the right side of history by adding to the lives of your local community. Like, you know, if you live in a town that, you know, is really dry, then you might want to do water tower. You know, have a water tower, put your name on it. Have a library, put your name on it. Have a internet library, put your name on it. There's all different kinds of things that you can impact the lives of your local community. And part of that impact is you need to kind of think of those things now while you have the ability to move, while you have the ability to go look up stuff, while you have the ability to figure out what your town needs. You know, you might need a town center. You might need a park. You might need whatever your town needs. And right now, while you don't have money, it's easy to go look at these things and figure out, hey, you know, when I get money, I want to add this added value to my city, or I want to do this or that or whatever it is. But take the time to look now before the money comes so that you can actually have a plan when you're ready to go. Because once you get money, it will be much, much, much harder to come up with an impactful plan for your city or for your town for you. It's a lot harder once you're known. Of course, it's the same thing. You want to use your bank, you know, but even using your bank, you know, people are going to find out who you are. So you need to consider these things now before you get the funds so that you have a working plan or something you can look at when you get the money. I want to rebuild the irrigation system in my old hometown. The levees are having problems, and every time we have a major rain, the levees just, they wash out. So it's half a $1 billion project. Well, these Chinese yellow dragons pay off. That's the water tower. That's the irrigation stuff. So earmark something, you know, if this goes and I'm going to use this one bill to fix this, that, or the other thing. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it, and it gives you something to look forward to. One of the things that people just really don't consider a lot is that once you have, you know, a massive amount of money, that you don't have to go to school the same way. You know, you can level up your life by having the best people, the best world teachers teach you how to do different things. One of my friends was like, well, when I get this money, I'm going to go to college. So I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to hire the best professor in that field to come privately teach you. And that's one of the beauty parts about having this kind of money is that you can be a class of one and get all the private education you want. And that's priceless, you know? So these are the five areas that you want to level up in. Finance. You need to not only understand how to be wealthy, you need to also understand how to be wealthy so you don't have to worry about money problems. So you want the best in the business, the best in the world, understands finance to come teach you. Intellect. You can hire, you know, like Tony Robbins if you want to learn more about real estate. I mean, the best in the world. You just call, you have your house manager or your butler make arrangements and have them come teach you. Health, you know, how much the world, you know, your body allows you to experience is based on how healthy you are. So you want to get the best in the world that understands how to level up your personal health to come teach you. Relationships, get a relationship coach. You know, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very difficult to have friendships the way you do right now. That's why I urge everybody, you know, make sure that you bring your friends with you. And if that means, you know, gifting them some currency before the RV or putting some currency in an envelope to give to them just as you're going to the RV, that's really important because the quality of friendships you're going to build are going to be different because you don't know these people. New money is always much more difficult to make friends with than old money. And then emotions. You want to have control of your internal emotions. You're going to have a lot of up and down emotions because you're going to have people that are going to ask you for money and you're not going to want to give them money and you're going to get angry. You know, that's just one example, but you know, if you've got the money, ultra rich people hire experts in all these five areas, and then they build excellence in these five areas, and that makes them a better person all around. You know, it adds polish to who you are, you know. So once you're going to solve the issue of money, the world is, you know, everybody else in the world is going to see you as successful. But because you came upon money really quickly, often people will feel like, you know, I'm a fraud. I don't really know the rest of this stuff. So that's not a problem. Just hire the people that you need. The biggest impact that you can have on humanity is helping everybody that wants to win and giving yourself access to some kind of guidance that much of the rich have used as a gatekeep for everybody else, you know, to stop others from learning the secrets of being wealthy and having, you know, control of your intellect, better health, ultimate relationships, emotions. You know, before it was, getting high level coaching and mentorship was really difficult to be able to get. But that kind of education allows you to make more progress with the funds you have. And then in turn, when you have issues come up in your life, you'll be able to fix those issues three or four times faster than if you didn't have that kind of background information. And so that's just something for you to think about, you know. One of the things that makes you grow, whether or not you would realize it or not, is to mentor somebody or financially support new, bright new people. I absolutely plan on financially supporting other inventors. There almost feels like when I was growing and I was really doing, you know, getting new strains out and all kinds of different things, you feel like in order to keep your legacy alive, you have to give a leg up to the next generation. Because no matter how hard I work in my field, I'm still standing on the shoulders of those that went before me. And now I've got use of technology that other people built. You know, ships, planes, roads, all that stuff. Other people built that stuff. Each generation has their own innovation. And the world is always going to need people with good insights, always going to need young innovators and old, you know, in my case, old innovators. And then the bright minds, they're going to bring those ideas into reality. And when you financially support or mentor these new people, you really shortening the distance to the future, and you're bringing these brilliant ideas to the forefront, and it's going to impact everybody positively. One of the things I really focus on in my industry was I have genuine friendships all over the world. The first time I went up and became multimillionaire, I was freaking lonely. Lonely, 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 because nobody else could go do the stuff I wanted to do. You know, I call my friends up, hey, let's go to New Orleans and go get some crab. I gotta go to work. What the hell you do? I'll pay for your week off. Well, you end up paying for their whole life, and then you both end up resenting each other. So it's important to build genuine friendships all over the world. I have a friend now that is in New Orleans, and if I want to go to the Ace Acme bar and go get crab, I call her up and I go, "Hey, meet you at the Acme bar." None of the people that I started with in grade school ever caught up with me. Nobody did. In my hometown, I was one of only three people that actually left. And throughout the years, I didn't see a lot of those people because I was too busy running hard. And it didn't have to be that way. I just didn't know it at the time. Nobody sat there and told me, "Hey, you don't have to go up there all by yourself." It's lonely at the top if you don't bring friends, if you don't invite people to come with you. And two, being from the cannabis industry, the motto is no new friends, But right now, you're gonna have a really amazing opportunity to mentor new people and to make new friends with those new mentees. And no matter how much money you have, world is huge. It's a big place, and you can't really see it all, but God bless America, you gotta try, And when money is no longer an issue, I'm about beautiful things. I want to go see beauty. Natural beauty is my pursuit. I love beautiful things. I traveled all over the world. I always tried to befriend locals. I wanted to learn what was going on with them and their lives, learn the history of where I was at. It's like being a collector. You're collecting memories, and you do this, come to a different understanding of the world that you live in, and you do it through human emotion by collecting experiences. And then, one day I won't be able to travel, and I'll have, stories and friendships wherever I went, And I hope that same thing happens for you. I believe that art is the spice in life. Art is the highest form of living. You have music that sounds amazing. You have things that taste amazing, foods that is an art. But, the people talk about eye candy and they don't realize it. It actually is eye candy for your eyes. When you look at exquisite homes, when you look at museums, the thing that lasts through time is art. And I found the more I surrounded myself with beautiful things, the more filled my life felt. Quantitative, the qualitative of amount in my life was so much different. There was a reason why people in Paris are happier and have a better outlook on life than people in Houston or Mexico City or Moldova or, extremely poor areas. Beauty tames the wild beast in your soul. It's not a joke. It's actually real. Art adds like core value to your life. And it I don't know, it captures a feeling. And because of those positive feelings, it's a store of value over time. And that's why great art is so expensive, and why the pieces for blue chip art just keep going up year after year. There's just not enough of a supply of it, of really amazing art. And so that's why art is such an amazing asset class that's better at preserving wealth and growing wealth than most anything else you've been told to invest in, except for maybe silver. And the ultra rich have known this for decades, and they've used art to become even richer. And when money is no object, beauty is always the way to go. I've got pieces of art that I had from that I traded with friends when we were younger. And now some of those friends are, you know, very, very, very well-known artists. And I've got art from them, and it's fantastic. It's I love it. I love this. I don't like to talk about this next part very much, but find God. You know, your bank account can be full, but you can still feel kind of an emptiness inside of you that sometimes is hard to explain. And so some of the happiest, wealthy people I know are those who have found some kind of path to spiritual enlightenment. You know, I mean, I'm not saying throw away your fortune to become a monk, but you might want to spend some time with them to see what it's all about. But find purpose beyond money and material things. And it's probably going to be your own version of what you believe to be as God. But find spiritual enlightenment. There's a difference between writing a check and making a contribution. And there's this thing called the law of diminishing returns, okay? And we all know that most of the time when you donate to charity, it doesn't go to the cause, okay? The NGOs, they use the majority of it to pay their employees' salaries and other expenses. They don't actually, the money that you give really doesn't actually go to what you want it to do. And so by the time you write your third or fourth check or your third or fourth donation, you know, it's like, fuck this. It doesn't really feel like you're doing anything. So roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty. And you're going to find that it's not just the people that you're helping yourself. Meet the people you're trying to help. I don't cut a check anymore. If I'm going to do something to help a people, I'm getting my hands dirty. Because a dirty shirt is a sign of a good job, a job well done, okay? I'm going to, build checkout centers for farmers so that they can borrow equipment to get their harvest taken care of. So I'm not just gonna write a check for a company to go do that. I'm actually gonna find a property, pay for the equipment, put together a facility on the property, and hire people to do the leasing of the machinery. I know that the feeling of accomplishment I'm gonna get is gonna be unbelievable. I did a cannabis grow school where I put together the whole thing and I did the work. I taught the classes. And people didn't realize that the gal teaching the classes was the one that paid for the whole thing. And Your hard work matters, okay? Because you see the reaction in people's faces when you're helping them. And that's priceless. You find yourself when you help others. And I know that sounds kind of trite, but it's really true. So, well, money is no longer an issue. Think about how you can change other people's lives because of your own efforts. Writing a check is charity. You know, you don't want to do charity. You want to do humanity, which means either hire staff to do the humanity work, or you get in and do some of it yourself. And I'm telling you, the reaction of it, the feeling of it is super, super, super good. It's worth it all. It really is. It's really awesome. You know, a long time ago, I heard a song that said, it was basically saying that heaven is a place on earth. What if heaven is a place on earth? Well, what if you could find paradise and buy yourself a piece of it? Then you'd actually be living on heaven on earth. And you might just take a minute and close your eyes. And what would heaven on earth look like for you? Use the money to travel to find it. I travel, I mean, I'm on my second passport right now. And there's been two times in my life where I felt like I literally found paradise. And one was on a Greek island. And I, you'll know, you'll get the goosebumps and you'll think, yeah, this is it. This is what I would think heaven is on earth. And that might be where you buy a property, buy a house. You know, for some it might be the mountains, for some it might be the beach, you know, for some it might be a 1,500 acre cattle ranch. You just don't know until you step your foot on it. But once you find it, buy a little corner of that paradise. Because every morning when you wake up, you can't believe it's real. I found that the first time in Tasmania, Australia. And I used to wake up every morning and think, this is unbelievable. I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm in the most, I'm just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm probably going to go back and offer some kind of stupid amount of money to the guy who owns that property, because I think that was paradise. I loved it. I loved it. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, all the birds, like all the parrots came in and the sky turned black from the birds. There was just cut out the sunlight. It was just freaking awesome. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, I get this a lot. How could you have done so many things? You must be lying. You've had like 15 different businesses you've done, and you couldn't possibly have done all that. Well, you know what? I did. And I reinvent myself. And I know a lot of people, when I tell them, I reinvent myself. What the hell does that mean? I figure out new things I want to do, and then I hire the best in the industry to teach me how to do it. And then I do that for 4 or 5 years. And sometimes I do 2 or 3 things at the same time. I'm 64 years old. I've reinvented myself 5 different times in my life. And each time I've done it, I've spent anywhere from 7 to 10 years doing that thing. And sometimes I've done two completely different things at the exact same time. And then once I was done, I moved on to something else. I from my 20s to my 30s, it was all about money. Money, money, money. Okay. I dug in hard to get as much as I could because I don't think retirement's for the old. I get a couple million dollars and I retire for a few years. And or the government takes it. But I go back and forth. I'm always learning a new skill, learning a new thing. Because I fucking hate boredom. I hate being bored. I mean, I know how to weld. I know how to work on cars. I know how to do woodwork. I know how to make water skis. I'm gonna learn how to build my own boat. I'm always learning new skills because life is amazing and it's just freaking boring to do the same thing all the time. So my next 10 years of my life, I'm going to explore cultures all over the world. I'm going to learn culture. People get so caught up in doing one thing their whole life that is their whole life. And life's not like that. Life is multifaceted, you know? If you're drawn to do different things, so go do them. People are so freaking scared to switch careers. I've gone on a plane and moved to a different country. Society doesn't want you to do that. Oh, play it safe. Hell with that. We only get one shot at this life. And I'm not playing it safe because doesn't count as a win when you draw the line at the end. So I reinvent myself. I'm drawn to do different things, and I'm going to give those things a shot until the day I die. And, there's more to life than you're currently experiencing. If you've dreamt of traveling the world, of moving to a new country, of switching to a job that actually feeds your soul, if you don't like how people treat you, this is it. This is the time that you're going to have that chance to do it. And if you don't think about it now, you'll stay in that same rut and you won't move. Move. It's great out there. Move. Do something different. If your life doesn't change within 6 months after you started with this money, you're doing it wrong. Go do something different. You don't have to be in the same place. Well, what if this? What if that? No, what if my ass? What if anything? Unless you start planning it, you won't do it. It's great out there. It's really wonderful out there. I've been to Vanuatu. I mean, I've been to what, 42 countries? And there's not one that I wish I didn't go to. There's not one. Well, okay, no, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. No, that's not true. There's been a couple of countries that I went to that I was shocked. And the ones that come right off the bat is Jamaica. Because I had no idea there was two Jamaicas. There's one Jamaica on the side of the hill where all the tourists are. When you go over the hill, it's horrifically poor. I mean, I want to help Jamaica. And I know people like, what do you mean? Jamaica's a great country. It is. But there's so much horrific, horrific poverty in Jamaica. It's just awful. Hand in hand with reinventing yourself, there's going to be a thing that you like. And that thing, whatever that thing is, you've said to yourself at some point in your life, damn, if I only had enough money, I would do this thing over and over and over. Everybody has a thing. Everybody has a thing that they've told themselves at one part of their life, man, if I only had enough money, I would do this thing. Like, man, if I only had enough money, I would go race, get a car and go to Germany on the Autobahn and go 190 miles an hour. That was my thing for a while. I've done that. Now I'm done with that thing. Now my thing is, this thing that I want to do now is way, way wrong. I know it's wrong. Don't care. I want to go get a king crab fishing boat, and I want to go get king crab in Alaska. And I'm pretty sure that that's not going to be my thing long term, but I want to do it. And, this has been, if I had enough money, I would go do this. I may just go buy a boat and send it out and go get crab, but I want to have something to do with king crab. That's it. That's what I want to do. And very soon the RV will happen and I'll have the resources to do it. And I got a desire to go to Alaska and, just hang out on maybe I'll just hang out on the wharf and wait for the crab boat to come back. I don't know. But, can you do something and will you do something are two very different things. So you have to figure out what you are. Are you a can you do something person? Or are you a will you do something person? And when you've got the money, you can be a will you do something person. You just got to want to do it, Not sit home. Just go out and have a great life, Joe Rogan, who I just freaking, I want to meet him. That's one of the things I am going to figure out a way to do. I want to have dinner with Joe Rogan. So I will one day watch. I'll be having dinner with Joe Rogan. I'll videotape it. But I want to have dinner with Joe Rogan because I just think he's a maniac. And one of the things he said that I just thought was so perfect. What's the point of having F you money if you don't say F you? Really? Seriously? Feed your inner child. The biggest mistake that people have is they lose the inner child with them in while they just, their lives run through the corridor. My friends get mad at me because, like, what are you doing, Park? Like, we'll be walking along and be in like a flower garden, roses, and you can smell the roses everywhere, and everybody's like talking. Screw that. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to literally go smell the roses. Oh, you're so cute, Parker. You went over and smelled the roses. Yeah, I did. And they were fantastic. And you didn't do it. If once you get to the top of the financial mountain, freaking enjoy it. And don't give a damn what anybody says. If you like smelling flowers, everybody will wait for you. Everybody will wait for you because you're the rich bitch. Go over and smell the flowers. If you have a dream car, go buy it. You may not want to ever drive it. You may just want to sit in it and go, oh, I love this car. See, I really, really like Maseratis. I do. I love Maseratis. I cannot drive one. I cannot. Because, see, Parker has zero fear of speed. Zero. Okay. So if I have a car that'll do 210, I think it's my absolute that I'm supposed to go do a 210. So I know I'm going to go get a Maserati. I'm just going to park in the garage because I know that if I get in it, it won't be 55 miles an hour. No, sir. Nope. It'll be 210 miles an hour from the get. You see those red signs out there? They say STOP. What that actually means is step toe on pedal. That means go as fast as you can possibly go for the rest of your natural life. And the police say they want to argue with that. So no, but I'm going to go buy one and I'll have it in my garage. Might have a picnic in it, but I'm absolutely not going to drive it because I'll end up either dead or in jail, but I'm absolutely going to buy my dream car. If you want a big home, go out and buy one. Okay. And if you don't know how to live in a big house with a bunch of staff, I got another audio that you guys should listen to. But if you want to buy a big house, go buy a big house and get people, invite people over. You'll have it be easy, okay? I don't want to do that anymore. All the friends in my first channel, they laugh at me, and I don't care because I want to live in a yurt. And I know it's ridiculous. I know it's just like park. You could afford, a multi-million dollar home, and you want to live in a yurt? Like, yeah, I do. I love those yurts. I think they're freaking awesome. I want to live in a yurt. And so it's, I know, go ahead and laugh. I don't care. But one day I will have my little yurt, and I'll be a rich bitch living in a yurt. I'll have a main, huge house, like, half a mile down the street on my same property, so that if I get tired of getting living in my yurt, I can go to ultra luxury. But until then, no, I'm gonna get a yurt. When you have this kind of money, you want to travel. Well, you don't travel with just your husband anymore. If you want to travel the world, you can travel the world with your friends and your family. You can put them in two different buildings if you want to. But do things that make you happy. Plan to do things that make you happy. You don't have to give up anything, okay? I wanted to, when the kids were younger, I wanted my kids to be able to go with me on some of the countries I went to, and I couldn't afford to take them. But now, once they pull their head out of their ass and realize mom's not stupid and Joe Biden is not the president, I'm going to be able to take my kids and my grandkids and theirs. Well, I'm not even going to talk about how much I don't like my daughter's husband, but that's a whole different other thing. But I'll be able to, well, actually, I might could leave him home. Oh, well, no, probably. I don't know. But I want to travel the world with my kids. And like, I've seen some amazing things. My kids have never seen that stuff. They don't have the money to travel. That's not in their forte, okay? I'm going to rent a castle. I'm going to go to S Switzerland, Scotland, and I'm going to rent a castle for a month, or well, probably a week, and I'm going to go play hide and seek in a real freaking castle. Like, when we were kids, we built these forts, with blankets and chairs and stuff, and you play hide and go seek around the house and in the fort. What the hell with this crap? I'm gonna play hide and go seek in a re regular castle. Feed your inner child is what I'm trying to say. Do things that make your inner child super happy. Go ride a horse. When you want to go on a holiday, go rent the convertible. Do the things that make the little kid in you happy. Whatever you wanted to do as a child, don't let that go. You know what it is. You don't need to tell me about it. You just need to tell yourself about it. But yeah, I want to go play hide and go seek in a castle. I want to fly kites on the French Riviera at 64 years old, running down the French Riviera with a kite. Yeah, hell yeah. Whatever you wanted to do as a kid, do it. There's nothing stopping you from doing it. The only thing that's stopping you is you telling yourself you can't do it. You can. And when you have that kind of money, it's like Rogan said, it's F you money. Hey, I want to do this. You think it's ridiculous? I don't care what you think. I'm making me happy. And one of the things that's going to make me happy, I know there's a bunch of you who are just listening to this and going, God bless America. I actually think Parker's gonna go play hide and go seek in a castle. And I am. If you guys want to come, I'll invite you. You're it. But yeah, I'm gonna play hide and seek in a castle. I know that sounds ridiculous. Don't care. Really don't care. Do it anyway. Love that bingo. Yeah, Deidre, you rock. What's the point of having all the money in the world if it puts you into an early grave or if you don't get to enjoy it? Seriously. You got to feed your inner child. And then another thing that people immediately mess up is they eat poorly or they party so hard because like they start doing really stressful things, long hours, sleepless nights. And I mean, I smoke a lot of weed because wait till you guys find out what cannabis actually does for your body. It's, we are the original doctors. Wait till the world finds out what cannabis actually does. But eat right, you know, go to the gym, take supplements, do sports you actually enjoy, you know, explore the world through movement. And the stronger your body gets, the more respect you have for yourself and your body, you know. So take care of your body. Feed your inner child. Live life to the fullest. You can do the things that other people can't afford. Just do it. I'm gonna rent a freaking castle. You know? I'm gonna rent out the Daytona Speedway. I'm gonna rent the entire Speedway. I'm gonna invite all my friends that have fast cars and I'm gonna say, come on out, let's race. Nobody I know can afford to do that. I will. You know, the people that I know right now in my life, they would never think about doing that, but I'm going to do that. You're going to have enough money to do the little things that you want to do. So think about those things now and plan on it. My favorite candy in the world is Violet Crumbles. Favorite candy in the world. Favorite. I want to go to a tour the Violet Crumble shop. I want to go to Australia and go tour the Violet Crumble factory. I'm like Willy Wonka. Give me chocolate. Anyway. So you got money. What are you going to do? Think about it now. Because when this whole thing cracks off, you're going to be so busy. So take some time now to kind of think about what you want for your life and start planning it now. Anyway, this is Ms. Parker from RV Project Help. And I appreciate you spending the time with me and listening to me. I can't wait for this to take off and all of us find our better place in life and living a better life. God bless you, Anons. God bless you, humanitarians. We are the ones the world is waiting for. You've got to feed yourself before you feed the world. May God bless every one of you. Amen and good night.